SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on a Wednesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, DRS. What's the word?
Yeah, Wednesday, hump day, making our way through the week here. NBA, obviously some good action last night. College basketball winding down, can we say, but technically winding down only to pick up. But some conference tournaments are already underway. And yeah, conference tournaments are underway. Baseball, Kevin, not so much underway at this point.
I want to appreciate these shows with Donnie while I can, because at some point baseball will scoop him up and make him the commissioner, because the current one is horrible. Donnie, the top headline here to start it off on a Wednesday. Major League Baseball officially cancels games because the two sides couldn't meet the deadline that they created. So we're going to definitely not play 162 now, DRS.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And it's a shame, because it's not so much that baseball, which has way too many games. But I wish they canceled it in role reversal, Kevin, which means that you still played opening day, but we took the final two series off of September. Like, why can't we work that way? Because I think everybody can be in agreement that maybe a 120-game season is probably better overall for the sport. But this is the simple fact of the rite of passage. You start April, it's baseball season, it's opening day, it's exciting, and we're not going to have that now. And that's the biggest drawback.
It's, again, what do they have to now go into the schedule and figure out what needs to be made up and what doesn't need to be made up? I mean, it's just, you know, like, are you going to have to move it around so you play the appropriate divisional games? I'm sure that those are not really things maybe being thought out in the room right now. We will not only try to unpack how we got here, who's at fault, if that matters, but also some of these proposals here and the betting impact that it could have with perhaps an expanded playoff format, and of course that universal DH, which makes all the sense in the world. If you out there think that it is better to watch people who have no idea how to hit a baseball hit, then maybe you can get me a contract when the time comes around. But once again, we'll get there when we get there. We also, Donnie, got some big news around Jimmy Garoppolo, who needs shoulder surgery. Apparently, Donnie, this shoulder is why he was so bad in the postseason. Evidently, then, I guess that would mean he had this injury, I don't know, his entire career. Apparently picked it up in the Dallas game. Some reports, though, suggest, Donnie, this will have no negative impact on his trade value.
Yeah, and also in his trade value, some beat reporters actually say this helps him. So let me get this straight. A bum shoulder, a bum hand, and I can't throw till mid, you know, some around the 4th of July. Oh, that's going to say, hey, man, now you really want this guy, because he was injured and bad, but now he might not be injured next year, but still could be bad. So that's worth a first-round draft pick or higher at this point. It's going to be a fun one to watch to see where Jimmy Garoppolo ends up next year. But this is the best part, right, Kevin? We're dealing with injuries, and also now San Francisco going not so fast. We can always keep Jimmy G around when everybody knows you are not keeping Jimmy G around, unless Kyle Shanahan takes the pony and goes, man, you know what? I got to apologize to the faithful out here that really root for us. Man, Trey Lance can't play. We got to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you know what? I respect that. You know what I mean? Like, then I would respect it at that point.
It is sad for the Niners that if Jimmy G is back in your building, it is not because all of a sudden there's a lot of confidence around him. It's because somehow the replacement has been so shockingly bad that they're actually just going to stick with Jimmy G. The next two headlines here, coming with the combine heating up there, a lot of reports from, you know, general managers and quotes that are certainly allowed some intrigue and some comments around potentially some movement that could be big for this offseason. We first bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those tuned in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to the early line on a Wednesday morning. And Donnie, we have two pieces of information here. One, that the Jacksonville Jaguars are open to trading the first pick. And two, that the New York Giants are willing to trade Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I'll start with the Jags there, willing to trade the first, and as they should. They're not one player away. Maybe you can get a draft haul and sort of kick the can down the road, still stay bad this year, but stockpile draft picks. I could see that happening because last year you weren't going to do that with Trevor Lawrence. You take the quarterback. Now you figure you have the quarterback. Now you're trying to fill in some other pieces. Second part of that, Giants and Saquon Barkley. They should be willing to trade Saquon Barkley. He was a fun draft pick when they picked him up high in the draft, which some pundits, running backs, you never take that high, but who knows? Maybe he could have been a generational talent, but often injured at this point. Now he's going to want money. It's important for the Giants to probably move on from Saquon Barkley, because what are you going to do, Kevin? The organization isn't very good. They're talent devoid. You're going to wrap up a large part of your salary cap to an often injured running back when you need so many other pieces. They should be willing to look and move Saquon Barkley at this point, because quite frankly, I don't even know what you're getting back for him. A third round pick at best? He's a running back.
Look, it's one of those things where it was going to take new management at the top to be willing to move on from him, though, Donnie, because that old group that spent such a high draft pick on him inside the top five was going to be hard to part ways. I think the Jag story is a really big one, though, if they do move on. As Evan Neal's flipped to a minus money to be the first pick off the board, that pick changes hands, things change there. A lot of big result in college basketball, Donnie, but none bigger than in the Big Ten. Wisconsin becomes the Big Ten regular season champion with their upset victory over Purdue, 70-67. It's a huge result for the Badgers, man.
No, it certainly was. And how about that way to end it? A bank off of the backboard, which counts. 3-point win there. Nice win by Wisconsin. I wasn't all that surprised by it. But again, a Big Ten heading into conference play and March Madness. A lot of teams going to get in, apparently.
Wisconsin, not all that long ago, was 100-1 to win the national championship. They moved on down now to around that 50-1 range. We saw TCU up Kansas and the Lakers. Well, they still stink. We're talking Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on this Wednesday morning, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. React to the Major League Baseball news yesterday, DRS. And this was really interesting to watch play out. Back and forth they go. Proposal, proposal, meeting, 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 meeting. And all in all, as they were not able to hit the 12 a.m. Monday deadline, again placed by the owners, it was pushed back to the 5 p.m. deadline. There was apparently a bunch of reported momentum. And then all of a sudden, one final deal pushed forward by the owners. Those two deals could not be further apart, it felt like, when you saw some of the details there. It was rejected by the Players Association. And then once the clock did hit 5 p.m., the owners opted then to cancel the first two regular season series of this upcoming baseball season, and potentially more cancellations to come. A lot to unpack here, DRS. What's your initial reaction to baseball now canceling games?
Yeah, we're going to cancel a lot more games now because you did have that deadline, which you're right. The Major League Baseball, you know, owners and Major League Baseball themselves did this because, yes, it was a little bit ominous for me. You end up and you have some momentum and you get some of these beat reporters say, hey, look, they're still far apart, but, you know, some good vibes out here. They're going to meet again. They're going to extend the deadline. So you're thinking like, okay, they probably have to come together on a couple key points, but we're not too far of a bridge that we can't, you know, get across. And then all of a sudden, we take to the show yesterday on the money line. It's like, hey, yeah, they're going to start bargaining and getting to the table now. It was 1:30 in the afternoon on a 5 o'clock deadline. Doesn't that sound like something where you break up talks at 2 a.m.? Hey, man, let's get back at 10 a.m. and start grinding this out, or 9 a.m. You know, we're really close here. And you get together late, and then each side's going, now, hold on here. Like, how did something go backwards over the past 12 hours and we add new things in? So usually when you have those initial deadlines, which is like, hey, we got a hard line here. We're going to start canceling games. If you canceled from this weekend, right? So now you're going to have the first two series, which will carry you into the weekend of the first few weeks of Major League Baseball season. Every day that goes by, Kevin, don't you have to cancel more and more games? And they said, yeah, we'll meet up later in like New York. So what does that mean? We take a week off and then we get back to the bargaining table and then everybody goes, well, nothing changed here. So let's just, no need for talks. The thing that gets under my skin more than anything here is they were locked out once the World Series ended. And nobody did anything for the first 70-plus days and then just showed up and said, hey, 9 days, we're going to work on this. How about you work on this for over 70 days where you meet in a room each and every day, even if both sides are angry? It's almost like showing up to work, Kevin. You show up at 9 a.m., you lock the doors, and you say, you guys can do whatever you want, but you're going to stay here until 5 o'clock. You might as well work on the CBA here. That's what's most painful for me at this point. But just seeing the rite of passage, as I said, heading into spring, where Major League Baseball, great, it's here. Then it sort of hits that lull a little bit in the summer, but it's the season that starts it off, and it's so disappointing that opening day or opening weekend, per se, has now been canceled.
All in all, DRS, I remember, you know, kind of, this was a little bit ago, right? But you made a comment along the lines of, it's incredible that baseball almost once a year has to do something to drag the sport through the mud. And we sit here now looking at the state of this game. And it's really, really is sad. Because as you now have this positioned as owners versus players, and I think you could speak to this a little bit better than me as you've obviously kind of watched more of these played out than I have. But it does feel like, Donnie, at this day and age, players get a better perception of their side of the argument than probably in prior times that we've seen, you know, this player versus owner situation here. But I don't really know how anyone can come away from this situation and look at the owners and side with what they're doing here. It is the owner side of this, Donnie, that set this deadline. And more importantly, as Rob Manfred, who we'll get to, steps up to that and talks about how sad this is while laughing, and talks about that they care primarily about the fans. Donnie, it's the owners that were threatening the cancellation of games to the players' side because it is significantly more harmful to the players than the owners to cancel games. Because, Donnie, if the owners actually cared, then they would be doing everything in their power to not cancel games, and instead, they're using it as a bargaining chip, Donnie. I have no idea how anyone can sit here and watch these two sides play out and come away not being absolutely disgusted at this approach from the ownership side.
Yeah, and you're right about that, because you have to take the long approach here. Like, you had labor peace, and the owner said, we don't like this deal as it's going on. We're going to lock you out, not waiting till the deal ends and say, hey, we just can't come to an agreement and play baseball games. But you're right. The owners have the long money, and what that means is if they miss a season two, three, four, or five, still sitting on my billions that I've made in the past, where a Major League Baseball player's career might only be 5 to 7 years, and that's for a really good player. He misses, I don't know, 75% of his career earning potential at this point. That's what they hold over their head. But it's just kind of interesting where I understand, like, we had the COVID, you know, season where Major League took a bath here, per se, because they couldn't fit in, you know, any fans at the gate. And, you know, you had the condensed games and, you know, the TV structure that's, hey, we paid you guys for 162 games of programming and you gave us, I don't know, 60 games. I get it. There's hardships all the way around. But at the same time, the players also weren't getting paid their full salary. It was like Bryce Harper's making $35 million a year, played 60 games, and still got his $35 million a year. That didn't happen also. There were struggles on both sides. So when you look at the economic growth of Major League Baseball moving forward, it's the owner saying, like, hey, we're already billionaires, but since we own the teams, we feel we should make even more money. It has to be that even balance where you're both on the same page, because you can't tell me that Major League Baseball was looking at their financials and saying, we can't sustain this. What do you mean? The Yankees can't sustain their profit. The Dodgers can't sustain their profit. And even on, remember, I would always say that, Kevin, we have to protect the smaller markets. Pittsburgh and Miami, which Miami's not a smaller market, but operate as one, they don't spend any money and are still extremely profitable. So who in Major League Baseball right now is struggling at the box office and filling their coffers? Because I can't find any on the top end or the bottom end.
Rob Manfred, during, again, a press conference that will define his tenure as the commissioner of this sport, had a quote saying, the last 5 years have been very difficult for the league from a revenue perspective. Why lie, man? Like, don't you realize that people can find this information? Donnie, in this five-year period that's been very, very difficult from a revenue perspective, Major League Baseball has netted $43 billion in revenue. What is he talking? And that includes a pandemic season, Donnie. I mean, what are we talking about here? Like this, that none of this comes from a genuine place. And in our next segment, I want to break down more about some of the proposal aspect, stuff that impacts also the better a little bit more, that expanded postseason, the universal DH. But Donnie, you can tell me, do you really feel as if Rob Manfred is going to hold on to this commissionership here? Because you can look at Twitter. Marcus Stroman is retweeting tremendous levels of slander around Rob Manfred right now. At the end of the day, Donnie, I mean, you have to be able to look across the aisle and not have complete disdain in your heart. And Rob Manfred and the way this is all played out here, those players don't respect him. And here's the thing, Donnie. This is going to get way worse before it gets way better, because now they feel tremendously disrespected at the fact that Rob Manfred's up there laughing while going over the fact that they're canceling baseball games.
No, you're right, but nobody likes commissioners of any sport anyway. You know, every, like Gary Bettman gets booed every time around. You take a look at Major League Baseball. You take a look at Roger Goodell. Every time he steps up to the mic at the draft, gets mercilessly booed. Because the one thing that you have to take out of the equation is Rob Manfred isn't doing this to baseball. The owners are. The owners pay him. And they say, you know what? Here's why we pay you. I'm not getting up off of my, you know, $5 million yacht and going to talk to people, and they're going to boo me. I'm paying you to do that. I don't want to pay any of these players, but you're going to be the front man and take all the arrows. That's why nobody likes these guys. But then again, they make millions of dollars a year because they take the shrapnel that the owners give them, and they go out in front of the press and take all the hits.
We'll go over under games played for this upcoming Major League Baseball season and talk about an expanded playoff format all next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on The Early Line, talking baseball. Funny, because who knows the next time we'll really be breaking baseball down in the way that everybody would prefer to be talking about the sport here. Like we were supposed to probably at this point, Donnie, as we hit March, give people the outlook on some of these divisional markets, maybe talk a little bit about the odds to win MVP. Those markets don't even exist. You can bet NFL MVP right now. Can't bet the MVP for Major League Baseball. Maybe that's because the game, obviously, is just in such a poor state as is. Here's my question for you, DRS, and we'll keep working until we get kind of that happy medium, right? So we were to set an over-under games played for this Major League Baseball season. So we start at 162. We've already canceled the first two series. So let's bring it down. 20 games missed, DRS. If it was over-under 142.5, would you go over or under?
I think it's a pretty clear under at this point. Like if I'm setting the bar right now where you're moving it down, we got to go even lower than that. Because if you're canceling the first weekend, which we first two series, so let's just say that's six games after one day. We're not talking today, Major League Baseball. Probably not going to talk for a while, have a cooling off period. Is that not going to wipe out at least another 3 to 4 to 5 series right off of the bat? This isn't one of those things where it's like, hey, man, cooler heads prevailed. I just got a call from the union head and Rob Manfred's flying in to New York. They're going to pull an all-night session and work this out one-on-one. It doesn't sound like that's happening. So when you get that deadline and it crosses, most teams, or I should say most leagues and, Major League Baseball, per se, trying to argue back and forth, there's no rush at this point because the deadline already passed. Now it's like, oh, you let your anger set in. Well, I'll show them next time. And now we're looking at probably, when do we resume talks, Kevin? A week? That could wipe out another, I don't know, if there's 10 games a day on average, another 70 games right off the bat?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Starting right at a range to try and put this into perspective, but you can continue to move this down over under 100.5, under. I mean, just put it at over under 81.5. I mean, are we going to miss half the season at this point?
Yeah, I don't think we do. I put it around a buck 20. Because we're talking, buck 20 would be the entire month wiped out, right? Basically, is what you're talking about. I have a feeling that once baseball season officially starts, like the end of March is when it was supposed to go, that's when I think everything's going to get ramped up and real money on both sides starts to get lost. you know, missing, you know, hey, you know, Max Scherzer making $300,000 a day starting April 1st. All right, he misses a couple of days. I still got $30 million in the bank. You start taking away millions upon millions, because I saw the breakdown yesterday, Kevin. Each and every day, not game, each and every day starting, I think it was March 31st, Major League players, the Major League players themselves will lose $20.5 million a day in payroll. That starts to add up relatively quickly. And we're also talking about from the high-end spectrum, right? The Max Scherzers of the world, you know, Gerrit Coles of the world making all this money. They're not the ones that are affected, because they probably already made $150 to $200, $300 million in their career already. It's the guys just breaking in where it says, hey, man, I'm supposed to make $650,000 this year. Now you wipe me down to, like, you know, $425 or $400, take away taxes. And who knows if I'm going to lose this entire year, one of my earning potential years. That's the shame of it all. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at a 120-game season right now. I really am.
I would take the under on such a number, because here, and now here's why, DRS, right? So it's hard to put these numbers into perspective, right? But Jeff Passan tweeted out Major League Baseball's, you know, final and quote best offer, right? And then of course the Players Association, and the numbers are way, way, way far apart. And here's the thing, DRS: Scherzer and Gerrit Cole and Bryce Harper, they're good. And if you look, though, Donnie, at some of the sticking points here, they're trying to bump the numbers up for those players, Donnie, that this will likely be harmful for. So as long as the Players Association kind of still has the backing for those, you know, lesser paid players, with the understanding that a lot of this is trying to boost up their numbers, and if they have the patience and the ability to withstand what will likely be a tough blow at the beginning of this, then baseball's going to stand pat. And I don't think that you can it's hard at least to appropriately value what happens when two sides absolutely seem to disdain one another, or at least one. For the owners, this is business, right? I guess it's why they're billionaires and in the position to be in the position that they are in. But the players, listen, because we know, Don, that the players and the owners went through another one during the shortened pandemic season to try and figure all of this out, and it's happening here once again. Listen, I think it would be lucky to play 100 games during this upcoming Major League Baseball season. That's ultimately how I see this all playing out. I think the heels are dug in here from both sides, DRS. I really do. And just to add, you know, listen, Twitter's Twitter. I understand all that. But Anthony Rizzo had a tweet that I thought kind of captured a lot of this from the player side of it, which read, "To the fans, we will miss you most. To the younger generation of baseball players, this is for you." Rizzo, Donnie, perfectly fits the description. Financially, he can withstand a lot of this. I really, maybe I'm naive, Donnie. I really believe that the players here are trying to boost this game up from an overall standpoint so everybody's in a better position.
And I hear you on that. And also, Major League Baseball, you know, doing one of those dirty tactics, which the NFL tried and was almost successful at, is they're not going to say, hey, you know what, Max Scherzer, we're not negotiating with you. Gerrit Cole, you know, Bryce Harper, we don't care about you. We're going to go ahead and get all those players, because the majority of the league makes, you know, breaking in minimum salaries. So if you're boosting from, like, let's just say $600,000 to $700,000 and it can increases there, that sends fractures through your organization. So when you're going up and down, going, hey, man, I made $60, $70 million. Yeah, I need to make even more money than this. I'm going to hold out. When some of these players that are just young and hungry going, hold on here, I was offered $650, now I'm going to get $710. Like, I'll sign the deal right now. Like, this helps me get in right now. So you're talking about Major League Baseball saying, hey, the arbitration pools and all that stuff, that's all fine and good, but they're trying to appeal to the guys just making it in, going, hey guys, you're the majority of the league. We want to pay you guys more. These millionaires here at the top of the food chain, like Bryce Harper, they don't care about you. They just want to keep their millions. We want to take care of you. We want to pay you more money at this point. So it's an interesting tactic that almost worked, as I said, in the NFL, where they said, hey, we're not negotiating with the Drew Breeses of the world. We want the guys that are coming. You're going to work 3 to 4 years in the NFL before you retire, because that's usually how long it is in the NFL. But we want to make sure you're compensated and paid more than you currently get now. So those guys go, well, hey, I don't really care what, you know, this quarterback over here is going to make, or Aaron Rodgers is going to make. I need to take care of myself. And when you have that voting block, that's a majority, sometimes that causes fractures in these unions.
We'll continue to see how this all plays out. And there's a couple of things that have been proposed. And I know, Donnie, there's, you know, some signs that would like to see this expanded playoff format. Listen, as far as the DH thing, I don't know if we have to get into this. Just bet a couple overs during a National League game and see how much you like pitchers hitting there. I don't know what it's bad. It's awful It's really terrible. I don't know how people enjoy this. Like, they actively aren't good at hitting. They have to bunt if they can. Like, that's why they always pinch. It's terrible baseball. I can't believe these National League fans. Who would ever want this? Like, imagine if the AFC wasn't allowed to kick extra points, and then you were out there going, oh, but the strategy of it all. Oh, that's the way the game was. Stop. It's nonsense. You're embarrassing yourselves here. Now, the expanded playoff format, DRS. This I can hear maybe a couple of different arguments for. Tell me whether you like this or not and the potential impact it could have on the baseball betting landscape.
Yep, simple to me. Major League Baseball, 14, let's just say 14 teams get in. So bad for the sport, so bad for the sport. Well, that's okay. Keep your energy for every sport then, because then apparently you hate March Madness. What a waste of time. You're seeing, you know, Patriot League teams get waxed. Why even be in it, right? You should just have a Final Four in college basketball, because apparently you don't like to have games that are meaningful on your TV with teams trying. The reason why I bring it back to Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball is horrendous in September. Why? 90% of the league is tanking. 90% of the league at the trade deadline, like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins, are selling everything off in a fire sale to get prospects to do the same thing 3 to 4 years down the road again. If you make these teams and their fan bases go at the end of the August, boy, we are a game or two back of making the playoffs. There's more fans in the stands. There's more fans excitement. Teams aren't going to sell their players. Teams are going to spend a little bit more money to get over that hump in the next year. And who likes this? You know what I really like, Kevin? I'd rather go in the Major League Baseball extras, you know, into the playoffs and go, boy, this is really fun. One game a day. Or no, we like six games in an afternoon that we were getting in that COVID-shortened season with expanded playoffs. So did we have complainers? Oh, my goodness, we got a game at 12, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. That's horrible. I loved it when one game was on at 9 o'clock at night, and I couldn't even stay up to watch it here. You've got to be kidding me. More teams, better results, more teams in it, more funds for the fans. It's a no-brainer at this point.
It really is. Listen, I'd love to come on here, stir the pot, argue with DRS, but the idea, oh, it's an oversaturation. Games aren't going to matter. Oh, so you didn't watch Sunday Night Football this year between the Chargers and Raiders, a game that wouldn't have had the implications if not for the expanded playoff. Oh, the NBA, the play-in, it's a nightmare. The NBA play-in is actively keeping LeBron, Durant, Kawhi afloat in the postseason. And by the way, so far in the play-in, you already have an iconic moment of LeBron hitting a 35-footer in Steph's eye. Thank you very much. You're crazy if you didn't think I was going to sneak that in. Baseball is trying to find a way to grow the game. They feel like they don't have an adequate amount of stars, which is accurate. Do you know how you get people to watch? Have the games be important. You know what games are important? Playoff games. This isn't hard at all. It's actually really, really easy. And as far as the betting impact goes, it's a massive change to postseason odds, but it's a boost to everybody's odds to make the World Series because they're way more likely now to make the postseason. Keep it right here. It's the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, a huge Hot or Not chant is breaking out from the in-studio audience. We'll get to the Hot or Not in just a moment here, but DRS, I know you wanted to button up the idea of an expanded postseason here as to, because there's certainly, you know, some concerns out there from, I believe, the player's side of this, DRS. Your closing thoughts here on the state of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me because, you know, we're trying to take a look at the, you know, totality of what actually makes sense here. So if we're looking from a Major League Baseball perspective here and the expanded playoff roster, let's say it gets to 14. Oh, man, I hate good meaningless. I hate good games and, you know, games that matter. I hear you on that. but the Major League Baseball union out here that is actually saying we don't want an expanded Major League playoffs because, A, it's going to add a lot more money to the coffers and we can make a lot more money. But there's actually a notion out here, Kevin, that says if we expand the playoffs, owners aren't going to want to pay the top players what they're worth. I don't know. LeBron James in the NBA. Seems like he's getting paid just fine. Is there a shortage there where Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers can't come to an agreement and go, hey, Joe, we make the playoffs every year. We don't need you here. So we're not going to pay you, and we're still trying to make the playoffs. One of the dumbest arguments possible. In the NHL, hey, Sidney Crosby, you're a really good player, but we can make the playoffs without you, so we're not going to pay you. This is not how the world works. Owners pay the talent because it puts people in the seats and adds revenue to your broadcast where you sell more ads at this point. If the notion out here is you're trying to go upstream here and fight against a playoff because you think Bryce Harper isn't worth as much because more teams get into the playoffs, what world, Kevin, am I living in at this point? Who makes these rules?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm not all too sure about that. I mean, now, listen, is there a world where there's a couple of owners that maybe have that insane notion? Maybe so, DRS. But all, like in the NBA, like the Knicks made the playoffs, right, last year, DRS, and they were like, oh, it's easy to make it in the play-in. Let's do nothing this offseason. They made a bunch of moves that didn't work, but at least they gave it a whirl. DRS, right? I mean, that's what these teams do when they think that they can go out there and find themselves in the mix. I'll also just say this one last thing here. If anybody out there goes, man, but come on, what about the integrity of the regular season? There are 162 games, man. 162? Really now? I mean, come on.
It ruins the regular season. The regular season is ruined if you let 14 teams in. The NBA, I thought the NBA would go bankrupt. They added the playing games. I thought they would go bankrupt. They should have gone bankrupt, right? Like, what a terrible, terrible thing to happen. And the college football, the BCS was the greatest thing ever. Just have two teams in the final. Are you kidding me on this nonsense? I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole for hours and hours and hours. But my single favorite thought here is the fact that there are people out here listening or watching to the show going, man, I loved it. I loved it when one team from the American League and one team in the National League in the 60s made it, and that was the World Series, and I listened to it on the radio, and when I watched it on TV, it was in black and white. Those were the days, the best days of my life. Come on now.
People are out there. Now, listen, I would watch this June 8th game, but I can't. Everybody makes the playoffs now. What are you talking about?
I was going to take my kids to the game this weekend, but the fact that my team might actually get in the playoffs, I'm out. I'm out on the season.
I can't possibly, man. You know that buzz that's in the air typically when they're playing in early July because the game feels important? No, that never happens, ever. Man, baseball, what a sport. I can't wait to see Ohtani's odds to an MVP. Oh, all right. Standard. Are we good? No, I got to get back to slandering Ohtani, what I'm good at, man. That's what I'm. Oh, I can't
cut that clip and send it out there, right there. We just mentioned Ohtani's name. If anybody's listening, just cut the clip of Ohtani. We'll get 25,000, 30,000 views on this one.
Hold on, wait. Yeah, Donnie, quickly, hot or not, Shohei Ohtani is good at baseball. Yes, I'll start. Yes. Not. Numbers through the roof, man. Go. We're crushing it. All right, let's
hit
some real
guy. Didn't he used to wear clear glasses? Yeah, that's what you would get in the comments there.
That nerd. Exactly. It's really just Donnie's burners, man, which is a tough scene. All right, let's rip this hot or not here, Donnie, because, man, if you slander Wednesday. Jimmy Garoppolo, DRS. Now, I'm not slandering a guy for needing shoulder surgery. In fact, I'm not even, well, that's at some point Jimmy G will probably catch a taste of the slander. But it's really, Donnie, the initial report that comes out around Jimmy Garoppolo needing to have surgery on his shoulder. The fact that Jimmy Garoppolo, who is going to likely be traded, likely, around the NFL trade, NFL draft maybe, right, won't actually be able to throw a football there. You would think, DRS, that would have an impact on someone's trade value. The initial report, Donnie, no. Nobody, it's great. Things were, I mean, they've got so many offers out there, they don't even know what to do with themselves right now. DRS, hot or not, Jimmy G's shoulder surgery will impact his trade value.
Absolutely, absolutely, it should be hot at this point. Because let's just go back to what goes on in San Francisco at this point right now, right? The worst kept secret in the NFL last year was Jimmy Garoppolo being a starter for one more year. Let's see if it works. It didn't work. So now San Francisco is trying to tell you, like, hey, just because it didn't work last year doesn't mean it can't work this year. I don't know. Maybe Trey Lance's agent, Trey Lance's stuff go, I thought I was the franchise guy. You're not even giving me a chance. And the guy beating me out is not Aaron Rodgers. It's Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. And if I'm looking from a trade commodity perspective, in the NFL, we know just being an average quarterback is worth so much more than any other position on the trade market. But now you're telling me this. If I'm bargaining, if I'm using a bargaining chip, and let's just say and use it for the Philadelphia Eagles, who cares if they want Jimmy Garoppolo or not? They probably don't. But if the Eagles are coming into this going, all right, let me get this straight. This guy can't work out in the offseason. Probably can't throw a football. Now, I'm talking about not like, hey, he's ready to go. Like, they're basically saying he can't lift a football till July the 4th, which is basically when camps start to open up a few weeks later. And I know from a perspective, you don't actually want this guy. And he also had a problem with his throwing hand on his thumb. So if I'm trying to trade or make this an impact for my organization, I'm not giving you anything near what you want. Because I'm calling your bluff going, you're going to cut this guy. You're not keeping this guy at this massive salary to be a backup quarterback to Trey Lance. And if Trey Lance has any wherewithal, I'm going through the offseason expecting to be a starter as is. So that word's going to get out there. So there's going to be two things that are going to happen to San Francisco where if they want to put those feelers out. Number one is going to be Jimmy Garoppolo's healed up quite well and he should move on fine. Or number two, boy, Trey Lance isn't good. So if you really want Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to have to pay a premium. And there's no way the San Francisco 49ers are putting out feelers around to beat writers around the league going, hey, man, Trey Lance, we whiffed on that guy. So maybe we'll build a trade market for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not happening. There's no good that came out of Jimmy Garoppolo's season. Crashed and burned down the stretch, injured his shoulder, injured his thumb, and you got a young kid that you gave a draft haul for that is supposed to be your starting quarterback. There is no way Jimmy Garoppolo here is worth more today than he was even a year ago. It's going down. Stock's going down, Kevin, on him.
I don't know. I mean, quote, significant interest around Jimmy Garoppolo. This man makes no sense. Jimmy Garoppolo is both bad at playing quarterback and injured. How could
his record
possibly?
But his record.
I mean, like, Don, but like the thing is, like, certainly NFL teams are aware of the benefit of being around this 49ers team. I mean, almost assuredly. Like, Donnie, they've already thrown a timetable that he can resume throwing around July 4th, which is probably generous. So that means maybe he's not going to be able to throw until August, which means you'll be about a month away from the season starting, and that's not going to hurt his trade value. I refuse to believe such a notion. And let me add this to the equation, because a lot of people out there don't have the ability to really evaluate what is and what is not an injury-prone quarterback. A lot of people just go, it's got to be Lamar, even though this was the only season he's missed football games. It's got to be Kyler Murray. Yeah. I'm starting to pick up what you're putting down. Jimmy Garoppolo, DRS, 4 years as the full season or supposed to be the full season starter for the San Francisco 49ers. And he has rotated between getting absolutely nowhere near playing the full lot of games and then giving you a full season. 3 starts, 16 starts, 6 starts, and then last year, 15 starts. And now has ended the season injured again. So Donnie, again, he's not only bad, he's massively injury prone. I ask you this now. Will this team get a first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Zero shot at that point. Zero shot. Good. And where's your leverage coming from, right? Hey, let's get him into, let's just say, one tip, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They need a quarterback. They want a vet. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, we might not be able to have him in any of our OTAs or throwing to any wide receivers to pick up sort of a camaraderie, and we'll see you at camp. And also, Kevin, quickly, from a San Francisco 49ers perspective, you're telling me you're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo where Trey Lance is going to get every single offseason rep with the wide receivers, the first team offense, and then when it comes down time to camp, hey, they're in a battle for at this point. No, you gave up a few first round picks for me. You gave me the entire offseason. Now I'm in a battle again with Jimmy Garoppolo. No shot they get a first round draft pick here. None.
I refuse to believe I refuse that NFL teams could be that bad at their jobs. How anyone could be so desperate for Jimmy Garoppolo to pay a first-round draft choice is completely beyond me. I can't imagine a world where this happens. A second-round pick will almost feel a little bit hardy. Just make them cut him. What's the bidding war like out there for Jimmy Garoppolo? Denver and what? First of all, like, listen, he ends up at Denver Bronco, man. It's going to be one heck of an early line. I'll tell you that. But, I mean, really, like, Donnie, Pittsburgh, they'll draft. They'll go for a Teddy Bridgewater if need be. They're trying to trade for big names. This isn't the upgrade the Colts are looking for. I mean, what is, like, the Washington Commanders are the only team out there that would somehow bid against a mirror and find themselves in an absolute war over Jimmy Garoppolo when nobody else out there is seemingly all that interested. And let me add this one last thing. This past season, by far and away, the best division in the NFL was the NFC West. The Los Angeles Rams won a Super Bowl and had this will-they-won't-they retirement tour for Sean McVay and Aaron Donald, but it looks like both will be back. But I got to tell you, DRS, if you're the Los Angeles Rams and you're looking around your division, I mean, you got to be feeling absolutely phenomenal. Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson both might ask their way out, and Trey Lance somehow inspired such little confidence that the Niners are chasing their tail around this Jimmy Garoppolo situation. It's a great day to be a Los Angeles Ram.
Yeah, no wonder why you want to, you know, get out to Los Angeles, win multiple Super Bowls, because everything is collapsing around you out there where quarterbacks don't want to be there. And this whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing, it just happenstance at this point. And we still get back to the crux of the argument. If they didn't give up all that draft capital, imagine the quarterbacks they could have actually gotten that could have won big games here. And you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not even a great bridge quarterback. Like, you're not giving up a first-round draft pick and then trading multiple future first-round draft picks to get your quarterback so Jimmy Garoppolo can play 1 year for your franchise. He's in that. Yes, he's a good starting quarterback, an average starting quarterback in the NFL. But who wants that? Who's in position to make a move to get that and improve their team? That's the question.
Significant trade interest. I don't know about all of that. I'm sure there's significant trade interest
from the
49ers, Saquon, yeah. Too, right? Yeah, exactly. We'll hit that on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's close out hour number one, hour number two. A lot of good stuff in the basketball world, both college and NBA. We'll hit one more football topic here, though, Donnie, under the hot or not guidelines here around Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants. Hot or not, the Giants should trade Saquon Barkley.
Yes, it's absolutely hot at this point. And this isn't a slander on Saquon Barkley. He's a good NFL player, just been injured a lot. But Saquon Barkley is a luxury for a football team. And what I mean by that, Kevin, is you're on your way to the playoffs, on your way to winning a division, making a deep run towards the Super Bowl. He's a guy that you could certainly use and help you out, similar to like a Leonard Fournette, what he did for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their championship run. But for the New York Giants, it doesn't make any sense. And also keep in mind, this isn't a low-paid guy. Like, this is a guy that was drafted, I believe, what, number two overall, and has a big contract still, even with picking up the extensions. But he wants an extension here. So you're telling me the Giants, who aren't ready to win right now at this time, they're going to re-up Saquon Barkley at a Zeke Elliott price for who, for what, as we like to say. Move on from Saquon Barkley, put him on a team that's going to be contender, hopefully get some sort of draft compensation back. But for the Giants, Saquon Barkley isn't right for them at this time.
For me, I think Saquon still has a world of talent. And I believe, though, the injuries have really messed up the, you know, early beginnings of his career. This is all going to be price dependent, though, Donnie. I don't care about saving $7 million cap hit. I don't care. Listen, Kenyon Drake has a bigger cap hit going into next season than Saquon Barkley. If you're able to get a second-round pick for Saquon, then you can have that conversation. You're not going to get a first. We know that is not going to be the case. If you can get a second-round pick, okay. But got it. If I'm the New York Giants, in a season that is likely about retooling and rebuilding as is, I'm not parting ways with the tremendous talent there to save $7 million on a cap hit. No way. I'll see how he fits into this Daboll offense, continue to put pieces around Daniel Jones to give him his best chance to succeed, and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not rushing Saquon out of town unless the price is right. College hoops up next, talking about that pretender Purdue.